Who's pumped? I'm pumped today. I'm excited. Jan Latta, you're still here. That's great. I just believe that this morning as I was playing, I just looked out and I just believe that God has 2018. He's just positioned you in such a way that he's going to take you to places further than you've ever dreamed of. I've had you guys a while on my heart, and God's been speaking to me about you guys. And I just believe, especially in the area of finance, he's seen Jan and Clyde as good stewards of finance, and he's going to bless you guys abundantly to be a blessing. And I just believe, just watch out for what God's going to do in 2018. He sees the desires in your heart, and I believe 2018 is going to be more fruitful than actually the rest of your life, even though you've had a fruitful life. But be ready for what God's going to do in 2018. Amen. Who agrees with that? I'm pumped. This morning, actually, I'll tell you that later. We're doing a series on the return of the Lord, and it's a great thing to look at, a great thing to be inspired of about this eternal perspective that one day, it's hard to think about it, but one day we're actually not going to be in this body. One day we're not actually going to be on this planet. We're going to live the majority of our lives in eternity. And it's interesting because we don't often hear a lot about it at church, but the reality is that it is the reality of our lives. Paul says that we're just passing through here. We're actually citizens of heaven. And so I want to talk a little bit into that this morning. Like Felicity said last week, I'm not going to go into a theological discussion about the return of the Lord. There's lots of scholars that think different things about it, and depending what way you're inclined, you can take a different approach or whatever. But today I want to talk to where we have responsibility in this whole deal. And where we have responsibility is to be ready for when God returns, to be ready that when that day that we stand before him. Not just ready to just scrape into heaven, but actually ready to give an account of a fruitful life that he's given to us. And I'm excited about that. Who knows that this whole deal about the return of God, this whole deal of this eternal perspective, it doesn't matter what we think about it. It doesn't matter if we disagree or agree with it. Jesus is returning. It doesn't matter if we vote yes, we vote no, Jesus is returning. It doesn't matter if you post something on Facebook. It doesn't matter if you aggressively disagree. It doesn't matter if you passionately agree or disagree, or you have a certain perspective in life. The reality is that Jesus is going to return. And that's a promise that we hold on to, because if there wasn't a promise of the return of Jesus, it would make doing life, especially life as following Jesus, pretty tough. But we hold on to this promise. We hold on to this eternal perspective that not only is he returning, but we're actually going to spend eternity. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we're going to live forever in this place called heaven. And like I said before, our aim in life is not just to scrape into heaven. Oftentimes we hear about, we live in a culture and a society that says that you just do the least amount of effort for the most amount of gain. Our aim as a follower of Jesus is not to do the least amount of effort so we can just scrape into heaven. Our goal in this life is, because we've seen the beauty, the majesty of who Jesus is, it propels us forward to be fruitful in our life, to serve him, to pursue him on this life to the best of our ability. Yeah? Who's pumped? This morning I woke up at 4:40. I looked at the clock, it was 4:40. And God, I woke up with this desire to speak about something slightly different, which was about this forward movement, about this thought about that God wants more. And so I've decided to go down that path, and I'm loosely linking this to the return of the Lord to keep Jed happy. But I woke up at 4:40, I looked at the clock, and I just had this overwhelming sense that God wanted to speak to us this morning about this forward movement. Because sometimes at the end of a year, we can get to the end of a year, and all of a sudden we're celebrating what's gone on. We're coming into cruise mode at Christmas. We're ready to self-indulge. We're ready to watch the five-day test match on Boxing Day. We're ready to put our feet up. We're ready to go into this mode. And all of a sudden, bang, the new year happens. And before we know it, it's March before we've even got our running shoes on. And I believe that God wants to encourage us this morning to move forward, be positioned for what God has for us in 2018. Who knows that God's always got something more? He's always got something new. His plan for us is not that we just stay stagnated and that we stay looking at ourselves and even celebrate. It's great to celebrate what's happened, but who knows, He wants more. He wants us to move on. And that's what I want to just go down the path for a few minutes this morning on. Let's have a look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 12. This is a guy who wrote half of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, and this was a guy who kept moving on. He challenges me so much because it was like he just said, it was like Jesus had encountered him to such an extent that there was just this resolve, there was this fire, there was this passion inside of him that just set his face for fulfilling the call of God on his life. And it was like nothing could persuade him otherwise. So we're going to have a look at what he pens in Philippians chapter 3. It's more than just words. When I read this, have a think about the lifestyle of this guy. He didn't just write a poetic statement here to motivate people. This was just authentic coming out of this life of Paul. Here we go. We pick it up here in verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, then God too will make it clear to you. Down at verse 20 it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." What an awesome promise. What an awesome promise for a group of us here in Caboolture that are following God, that are even maybe even curious. Maybe you're here this morning and you're even curious about God, but what an awesome promise that one day we'll be in heaven. One day for those who have declared Jesus as Lord and Savior, for those that have followed Jesus, one day we'll be in heaven with Him. And I think that's an awesome promise. I love this here because Paul says, he says, "I press on to the goal to win the prize for what God has called me heavenward." He says, "I forget the things that are behind and I strain forward." There's an urgency. See the interesting thing with Paul is that he's not just forgetting the bad things. Sometimes we can think, well, there's a new season. We're at the end of a year. We're starting 2018. Sometimes we can think, well, let's forget the past. Let's just forget the bad things, the struggles, the depression, the anxiety, the bad circumstances, the fights, the sin, all the junk that happened. But no, he's saying forgetting the past. Sometimes that means we even need to forget the good things that have happened, although we celebrate them. But for us to move on, we have to forget the past. We have to turn our back and move forward to the thing that God has for us in 2018. Forgetting the past. Not just forgetting the ordinary things, the bad things, the things that have upset us, but even the things that we've had success. If we're going to go to the next level, sometimes we need to forget the success and look forward to the next thing that God has for us. When Paul wrote this, he had a pretty awesome resume. For a guy with his abilities, with the things that he had accomplished, for him to say, I'm forgetting the past, would be like, man, what's wrong with you? All this stuff you've done, all these missionary trips you've been on, all this impact you've seen in the Gentile world, all of a sudden you're saying you're forgetting that? That's what he's saying. I'm forgetting the past because I'm moving on. My emphasis, although the past, we've seen some great things, our emphasis now is for the future. And it says that it says here that he said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize that Christ has called me to. You can hear the passion in these words. This is a guy that's motivated for more. And sometimes the new thing that God has for us isn't going to look like the old, otherwise it wouldn't be new. You know, sometimes we can think, well, I'm not used to that new thing that God is about to do in my life. I'm not familiar with that. If you were familiar with that, it wouldn't be a new thing. The reality is that in 2018, God wants to take us individually and corporately as a church into new areas. And if they look familiar to us, then they're not new. I encourage you to open your mind, open your heart for the thing that God wants to say to you, because I believe that rather than using these couple of weeks that we've, most of us have got holidays, rather than just leaving these as a self-indulgent time, we can actually take these and seek God and say, God, what are you saying right now for my future in 2018? What is the new thing that you're speaking into my life? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do in 2018? And as I said, a new thing isn't familiar. It's different. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But here Paul is saying, man, I press forward. I press forward to that new thing. I press forward for the goal. He says, I put the things behind me and I actually embrace the new. He's embracing the new. I believe God wants to encourage us this morning as a church and as individuals of the church to embrace new things in 2018. Oftentimes we have this discussion with people as Christians, as followers of Jesus, and we might say a statement like this. We might say, you know, I might say to Josh, well, Josh, where's God leading you in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? Great statement. And I've often thought of this myself. Where's God leading me as a person in the next year or the next season of my life? And who knows that as you're following God, as you're a follower of Jesus, that path isn't always clear. You know, I can't stand up here and say today that I clearly can see where God is leading us as a family in the next season of my life. Maybe God has told me, but I just haven't heard him. But the reality is I can't say I know exactly the specifics about where God is leading me. But one thing I'm 100% sure is that I can't stay where I am. One thing I'm certain of in this whole deal is that I can't stay where I am. I've got to move. I've got to move forward. I've got to move forward into the purposes of God. And as a church, our vision here is to transform our community through the love and power of Jesus. Now, do we have every specific detail of that nutted out? Of course not. But one thing we do know and we're certain of is we can't stay here. We can't stay here. We have to move forward in the thing that God has for us. And I encourage you this morning that God has so much more for you in your life that we can't stay here. We cannot afford to sit down and even sit around and celebrate the good things that have happened in 2017. Although that's great, but our emphasis has to be on our movement forward. Like Paul the Apostle, I mean, he was just driven with this passion to move forward. move forward in the thing that God had called him to. We're familiar with the armor of God that's outlined in Scripture. Who's ever thought that there's no armor protecting our backside or our behind? I think that's because we're not designed to retreat. We're not designed to walk back. We're not designed to run away. It's interesting that the armor of God detailed in Scripture is all at the front. And when I think about that, I think we're, as a follower of Jesus, whether you realize this or not, you're actually designed, by nature of following Jesus, you're actually designed for forward movement. You're actually designed to be moving forward. We're actually not designed to be standing still, turning around with our back facing the enemy. We're actually designed to be moving forward. And that's the reason why there's nothing covering the backside of us, is because we are designed to be moving forward. And let's be those people that are moving forward in the purposes of God. I believe one of the hindrances or one of the blockages to us moving forward is distraction. And I covered a bit of this in the parable of the sower that we were doing on a Sunday night. But I want to have a talk about this again because God has so profoundly been speaking to me about this. And I find myself challenged time and time again about this issue of distractions. And I believe for us as a church, for us as a group of people, that our goal is to love God and love others, to love God and see our community transformed, then we have to understand that we're living in a society, we're living in a culture that is throwing distractions at us. Let me read you something from T.D. Jakes. Who's a fan of T.D. Jakes? One person. That's good. Two people. Here we go. The Bishop Jakes. Responding to things that are completely irrelevant to what God has called you to are satanic distractions. That's pretty confrontational, isn't it? Let me read that again. Responding to things that are completely irrelevant to what God has called you to are satanic distractions. This is a challenging thought. We're living in a society that has created an environment where every thought that comes into our mind, we can just post on social media. We're living in a society where we can have our say, we can have our thought, we can have our opinion on every single thing. And I heard, I think it was Eric Johnson say it best, he said, if God's not talking about it, we shouldn't be talking about it either. Or I think he said, at least if you're going to talk it, get educated on the subject and then have a talk about it. But the point is that we're living in an environment where there's so many distractions. Distractions for our thought. So many things even on social media come in and they're distracting us. They're going down a path of somebody's opinion. Oh, there's no absolute truth and we can just have a look at this, we can have a look at that. Let's just involve ourselves in conversations on this, that. And everything that is not truth is not based in Scripture. Responding to things that are completely irrelevant to what God has called you to are satanic distractions. This has been challenging me so much because I think in the Western church, the biggest thing that the enemy is targeting at us is these distractions. He's not that worried about different things you're doing or not doing, but if he can distract you from fulfilling your purpose in God, then that's a win. He's not even that worried if you come to church or not. Pastors are. But Satan's not that worried about whether you come to church or not. He's just interested whether you're distracted to fulfill the purpose of God. Now remember, this whole deal with the perspective and the return of God and this eternal perspective is our goal here is not just to scrape into heaven. Our goal here on this planet is to be fruitful in our life so that we can give something back to what God has given us. The parable of the stewards, that whatever God has entrusted to us, we put it to work and we give back something of value. Not for our glory, but that He would get the glory. So that on that day when we stand before Him, we can worship Him, we can give Him back, and we can say, the life You gave me, the breath You put in my lungs, I not only just scraped into heaven, I not only just did enough to get into heaven, but I was fruitful. I had an impact in the lives of people. I learned to love. I just want to have a look at this parable, just as I finish up in Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower. I know we've spoken about it a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but Jesus tells this parable about a farmer. A farmer that goes out and he's sowing seed. And one of the environments that the seed lands in is thorns, weeds. And we know that Jesus later on tells us that the seed represents the Word of God. The seed represents that thing that God has spoken to you, that thing that God has made alive in you. Maybe it's a prophetic word. Maybe it's a word from God. Maybe it's a promise in Scripture. Maybe it's a desire that is coming alive in you of why you believe you're on this planet. So that seed represents the Word of God. And that seed finds itself in different environments. And the environments represent our hearts. And the environment of the thorns is an environment where the soil is good, but there's other voices. The soil is perfect, but there's other seed. And this is what I believe that are one of the biggest hindrances, the blockages to us moving forward in 2018, if we can become single-minded to the thing that God is saying, if we can create environments where we shut out the voices, then we can really grow this thing that God has put in our life. We can really grow this thing as individuals, corporately, to transform our community. There's other voices, other seeds, other voices that come, and they come and plant themselves in our hearts. Myself and Rachel were talking about this the other day, but I find that all of a sudden I don't have to invite these seeds into my heart. It's confronting me all the time that there's these seeds or these weeds that land in my heart, and there are other voices. There are other voices that are grabbing for my attention. There are other voices that are trying to persuade me in the very thing that God has called me to. There are other voices that just try and dampen me down in my passion. There are other voices that just say, why don't you just slow down? Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do that? You're young. Other voices that try and move our attention from the thing that God has called us to do. But we have to be so intentional, just like a farmer would, when he's got this little plant and it's just shot out of the ground, only a couple inches tall. We have to be ruthless in removing the thorns and the weeds. And maybe for a season, that will look different in everybody's life, but maybe for a season that means that we have to change some relationships, change what we're listening to, change what we're reading, change the discussions we're having. Until we can grow this thing inside of us that God has called us to, so that we don't go around year after year and saying, look at all the seeds I've got in my hand or my pocket, but we can actually say, look at what God has grown in my life. creating an environment where this thing can grow. I believe God wants to encourage us today in the light of eternity and in the perspective that Jesus is coming back. Remember, if we're going to move forward in 2018 and fulfill the thing that he's called us to, but we don't have an eternal perspective, it's going to be a lot of hard work. An eternal perspective, and a promise that God is one day going to return, is the game changer. It's the thing that changes us from just doing stuff to doing something for a purpose. I want to encourage you today, look at the condition of your heart. God's will for you is that you move aggressively forward in the things of God in 2018. He's put gifts and abilities on every single person here. Maybe today you know that very thing in your life that God has called you to do, and you're still holding it in seed form. You've never put it in an environment where it can grow. You've allowed distractions to choke out and suck the nutrients out from the seed to grow. I believe God wants to encourage us today that He's got so much more for us in 2018. Over the holiday period, as we go into a couple of weeks off, let's be people that are actually intentionally seeking God about what He would want to do in our lives. Let's have a look at the condition of our heart and see what distractions are in there that are sucking the juice out of this thing that God has been saying to me. Maybe some of us need to get a little bit aggressive over the condition of our heart. A weed isn't going to disappear if you just go up to it and speak nicely and say, "Weed, I would really like if you got out of this soil." It's an aggressive move of a farmer that rips these weeds out, gets aggressive. A hit of Roundup, a hit of something that will kill this thing down to the root. I believe God wants to encourage us that He's got so much more, but one of the blockages is these distractions. What is God saying to your heart? What has God spoken over your life? Maybe it's not even in the last few months. Maybe this is years ago. What promise has God given you? What desires and dreams has He put in your heart? And now, what is the condition of our heart? Is it full of distractions? Is it full of weeds? Maybe we need to do a bit of gardening. Maybe we need to remove those things to let this thing that God has spoken to us grow. Jesus told another story, another parable, just as I finish up now. He told another story, another parable of a father, an undistracted father. It was a father who had a distracted son, a prodigal son. And one day the son came to this father and he said, "Give me my cut of the inheritance. I want to go live my own life. I want to experience all the things that this world can offer." He took his cut of the inheritance and he left out of town. And this young boy, he got distracted with so many things. He was living a wild life. He was spending his money. And all along there was an undistracted father who waited. This undistracted father, unbeknownst to the boy, was waiting every day for him to come home. And right now, today, in 2017, on the 23rd of December, there's a God in heaven who is undistracted for you. There's an undistracted father who, even though maybe you've been away from him, has every day been looking for you, has been calling your name, has been waiting for you to come over those hills, to come back to him. We know the story that the boy who was distracted, he finally used up all his money. His friends had left, his world was collapsing. And all of a sudden, he starts this journey for home. And way off in the distance, he sees his father, or his father sees him. This undistracted father sees him coming way on the horizon. Just picture the story of God, an undistracted God for you, not for a group of people, but for you, an undistracted God that all through your life, all the different turns, all the different journeys, all the different things where you've been in life, there's been an undistracted God who's been waiting for you to come home. He's been waiting for you to come in a relationship with him, so that one day, when we leave this planet or when Jesus returns, we can spend eternity in heaven with him. There's an undistracted God today that is calling your name. He's calling you not out of anger, but he's calling you out of love. Even though the times you're even thinking now how you've let him down, how you've turned your back, how you've walked away, God has been an undistracted father who has been waiting for you. And I just believe that this Christmas time is the best time as any that God would want to extend an invitation to you today to say, Jesus, I give you my life. Take my life. If I'm 3 years old or 90 years old, I give you my life today. If that's you and you're in this place, and just as everyone closes their eyes, maybe this is the first time you've been in church and you've heard about the love of Jesus. Maybe you've been here before and for whatever reason you've never actually made that decision to follow him. Maybe you've made this decision before but you've walked away and you've done your own thing, but today, in amongst all your distractions, there's an undistracted God who's calling your name. If that's you, God gives us all an invitation today. If that's you, I want to include you in a prayer. It's a very short prayer, but it's a profound prayer. Because the Bible says that those who declare Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and believe in their heart, they shall be saved. So this is more than a religious prayer. It's not a religious prayer. It's a prayer of saying yes to him and securing our eternity in heaven. If that's you, would you just put your hand up and just say, Ben, I want Jesus to come into my life. I want my sins forgiven. I want to include you in a prayer. Anyone this morning that just wants to come back to him. He's a loving father and an undistracted father that stands and he waits for those to come to himself. It takes courage to put your hand up to say yes to him. Awesome, thank you. Anyone else this morning wants to say yes to him? An undistracted father, thank you. Anyone else that wants to say yes to him? He constantly waits. And at this time of Christmas, full of distractions, he's a father that is undistracted towards you. Anyone else before we finish? Thank you. Anyone else? Why don't we all pray together? Jesus, I give you my life. God, thank you for sending Jesus to this planet. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. And today, of my own free will, I choose you. I choose you to be my Savior and my Lord. And from this day on, at Christmas, I choose to follow you. Amen. Why don't we celebrate that? There's one thing that God celebrates more than anything is that one person. I think there was two or three people here today, and I just believe that heaven is going ballistic. Heaven is having a party because there's one person, there's three people here today that were once far away from God, but an unrelenting, undistracted God hasn't given us an invitation today. Have an awesome Christmas. Like Jed said, tonight will be good too, so feel free to come out. Thanks.